WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to 90.7 The Capstone. We are the student section NFL. My name is Tanner Thompson, along with Alex Brown, Evan Cisneros, and Connor Rolls. Fellas, how are we doing?
Tough loss, but it's only week two. A lot of stuff to talk about, but just leave it at that D-line was pretty putrid last night.
Yeah. Now, as it is the sign of a sports show that I'm going to ask you how you're doing. You say, oh, tough loss.
Yeah.
How are you doing as an individual? Oh, we had a tough loss.
It hasn't
Sunday
been
night.
The same since Thursday.
Thursday.
I don't know if I've smiled in the past 5 days. We're praying for Tua, though.
We are. That's true. Alex?
I'll tell you what. It feels great to be 2-0. I wish you guys could feel
the
it.
Only 2-0
I wish you guys
team.
Could feel it, but it feels Ugh. Great to be 2-0 and leading the division in two games over the Ravens right now.
Golly, man.
I would have never thought that entering the year.
I can't believe that, yeah.
I thought the schedule was very favorable for the Steelers, and I thought there was a possibility they could be 2-0, but the Ravens being 0-2 is kind
it's
of...
It's so wild,
it's blown my mind.
Ugh. But, again, a pretty wild week of football. I think our picks after last week will reflect that.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe wild's just a generous way.
There were
way,
so many upsets.
Yeah, generous way of calling our poor analysis for our picked games last week. But, again, a lot of crazy stuff happened. Any games that we want to start off, anything someone's wanting to get off their chest?
I do feel good as an Eagles fan that we lost this week when there was a bunch of upsets, like the 49ers losing, the Cowboys losing, the Lions losing.
There's always a positive somewhere.
You talk about the Eagles losing. Let's just look at the other four or five teams that everybody thought we were in the same kind of grouping with. They all lost too. So leave it at that.
That's true. Leave it at that.
I don't have too much to say about our game.
Come on, man. You're a professional. Give me some analysis. What went wrong?
The Bills have figured out that we only have two receivers. Grant DuBose, Robbie Chosen Anderson, last year Chase Claypool. They just bully them. They'll double both of our actual good receivers, stack the box, bring a lot of pressure. And so he's got to make a quick decision. But the only people he can throw to is a single covered wide receiver three. And they just suck. They're just bad. Like,
there you go.
Tua
you
had go. Three picks. And I will say, none of them were great balls. The first one.
The first one was a good ball.
Hit
him right in the chest.
Was a good ball. Yeah, hit him right on the shoulder pad. But. That's just a ball you got to catch. And Robbie Chosen came in a week before the season started, doesn't know what route he's running, stops in the middle of the route, goes right over his head for a pick. The last one was just bad. He dropped back, tried to noodle arm to a back. He couldn't even make it out of bounds. But bad loss. They're still our bigger brother, and I don't see that changing for a little while.
Yeah, probably. That was a rough game. That was just a general rough game.
That was a tough game to watch. I turned the TV off after Tua got hurt. It was over already at that point. You thought the Dolphins were driving, maybe something could happen.
Yeah.
And then Skylar Thompson walks out. Oh. And now let me say this too. I love Al Michaels, and I really want to be a sports broadcaster one day. Al Michaels has been an inspiration to me in the way he's called games.
Yeah.
He was boring on Thursday night.
He was boring.
I didn't think he did the Tua situation that he didn't give it justice. He didn't put it in the right context. I didn't enjoy listening to that broadcast in general. I think they have a great pregame show though with those guys. They have Richard 100%. Sherman out there too. He's been fantastic on TV. But that game was tough, and I think I feel very validated in my feeling about the Bills. I think the Bills are a Super Bowl contender this season and might be one of the the strongest team coming out of the AFC.
Right. That's not a bad take at all.
I don't know about Super Bowl contender just because of the lack of options Josh Allen has. When you look at the other teams that are on that level, the same level as you're saying Super Bowl contenders are, but I definitely agree that the Bills are a threat in this league.
Right.
They have been, and they always will be with Josh Allen on their team. James Cook is a monster. I mean, that speed whenever he can hit the second level and just get out of there is crazy. I mean, we saw it against the Dolphins that entire night. But
we see why the Bills released Micah Hyde. Or Jordan Poyer.
There you go. Yeah.
I forgot Jordan Poyer was still in the league.
Yeah.
But
still in the league? Come on, man.
Why'd you guys take him?
He was an All-Pro like 2 years ago. I don't know. $3 million.
Like 2 years ago.
I was optimistic, but he got completely burnt, took a bad angle, and James Cook went, what, 67 yards?
Something like that, yeah.
Horrible. Horrible. Demoralizing.
Hey, man. It happens. As a reminder for this game, I don't mean to bring this up to reflect positively on me and Connor and not you guys, Alex and Evan, but in terms of our picks last week, me and Connor both did take the Bills, and we have Evan and Alex who took the Dolphins. We are going to try to keep track of that for the sake of this year so we can try to, you know, see who's bragging rights, whatever word you want to use. We're just going to see who can come out on top. We did get that one right. Another game that we, to humble myself here, I guess, another game that we predicted was Giants-Commanders. I did pick the Giants. I was just kind of thinking that it would be a Malik Nabers blow-up game. And
I mean, he did get a great game.
He did blow up. He did have a good game, so I was partially right about that. But good Lord, you know what I mean? It's
Giants are bad.
Exactly. I was banking on some things going well that day. That didn't happen, and good Lord, they definitely
Brian Robinson got, I'm estimating, 8 yards a carry here. 17
for
133.
17
for
133. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I told you guys, but the Giants, I mean, it's not really great over there, I could say. I mean, they're the first team in NFL history to score 3 touchdowns and still lose to a team that did not score a single touchdown in regulation.
Yeah.
So the Commanders kicked and made 7 field goals to win that game.
That's unbelievable, man.
It's unbelievable that they couldn't even get in the end zone with the kind of field position they had. They tended to drive down the field pretty well consistently during the game, but a lot of penalties, a lot of false starts when they actually got into the red zone. But I mean, the defense did their job. They did a great job once they finally got in the red zone, but it was just bad. It's hard to watch that football team.
I love the idea of the head coach, after you've kicked 4 field goals, to bring yourself 4 or 5 maybe. And then you're in position, maybe it's 4th and 3. You're in, you know, you're 35 probably, and like, all right, well, let's go do it again, I guess. And then you do it 2 more times, and that is how you win a football game.
I think it's the funniest thing that the Giants didn't have a kicker. So
it's unbelievable.
He got hurt, and it's just, you see the 2 different sides. The Giants could score touchdowns, but they didn't have a kicker, so they had to go for basically everything.
Yep.
And you have the Commanders who can't even get into like first and goal territory.
Yeah.
And they're forced to kick field goals, and they still end up winning that game. It's
so wild, man.
Yeah. The Giants have had Washington's number for a while now.
Right.
And that those have been normally the games that you can maybe pencil them down for a win for in the past couple seasons. But the Giants didn't play that bad as an offense. I thought Daniel Jones definitely had a bounce back game from week 1. They just didn't possess the ball well. They had the ball 22 minutes of that game. When you get out possessed like that, it's tough to win any football game, even if you are scoring some touchdowns. So also Washington, 10 penalties in that game to the Giants 5, and they still weren't able to capitalize on those opportunities. Washington's not a bad team this season. Jaden Daniels is the real deal. And he's definitely looked like the best rookie quarterback in the NFL so far this season.
I would say so. The only thing that worries me about Washington is the lack of weapons they have outside. Because you don't really see Jaden Daniels actually throwing the ball more than like 5 yards usually. A lot of it's like nice out routes or dink and ducks to Austin Eckler and stuff like that. So I would like him to get Terry McLaurin more involved. That's what I would love to see.
100%.
But other than that, I mean, you guys got like Noah Brown and I mean, Zach Ertz had a good day. But other than that, there's really not any receivers that I would consider a threat besides Terry McLaurin, and he's still not really able to get the ball.
Yeah. No, 100%. Before we move on to any other games, Evan, do you want anything you want to add for this game? Or you picked right, so.
I will say I've been a fan of Jaden Daniels dating back to last year. I think
Dating back to last year.
Well, I was high on him. I think Caleb
dating
Williams
back
was obviously
to 7 months ago, I was pretty high on Jaden Daniels.
I think he was very clearly the quarterback 2 over Drake May. And
over Drake. So you didn't even have Caleb Williams.
He said he's the quarterback 2 over Drake May, meaning that he was
the quarterback 2. Oh, I thought he meant like Drake May, then Jaden Daniels.
And he's not we're saying, he's not doing anything too special, but, you know, getting completions, keeping that high completion percentage.
He's on the field.
Keeping the offense going. And that's all you can really ask for from a quarterback, especially in a league that's transitioning more to running. We've seen games where people have 30 rushes in a single game. That's not something we've seen in the past 10 years.
Yeah.
So right now, all we can ask from a quarterback is just keep drives alive, get third downs, and he's been doing that.
Yeah.
Just to clarify, Evan became a fan once Jaden Daniels won the Heisman.
Yeah.
So
that is correct.
Don't call this guy a fair weather fan. He's been through the highs and the lows.
Been a Jaden Daniels fan dating back to last year.
Back to the draft analysis. I thought looking at the highlights between him and Drake May, it was very clear who was better.
Fair enough.
That's why I'm a fan.
All I will say now is that we have much more to see from Drake May. So we'll have to wait before
until he wins the job from Jacoby.
Celebrating
Brissett.
Victories. Literally the program said that he played better than Jacoby Brissett. They just started Jacoby Brissett because
I saw reports saying that Hendon Hooker was outshining Drake May.
You mean Joe Milton?
That is what I mean.
Yes.
There you
Joe
go.
Milton. I the got the Tennessee quarterback. Yeah.
No respect, that's almost definitely not true. That Joe Milton was outshining Drake May.
They also
where were you hearing that?
I saw something like that
Dolphins
when
Twitter?
The rookie mini camp started after the draft. And, I mean, they said the same thing about Kenny Pickett being better than Jalen Hurts within the first week. And then you see how bad Kenny Pickett performed in the preseason game. So you can definitely tell that there's not a lot of truth behind some of these rumors.
Everyone in Pittsburgh knew the truth. They knew the truth that on the other side of the state, it was just smoke and mirrors. Kenny Pickett is not all that, but he was a great player in college. Darling of the city at that time. And then the Steelers drafted him. It was Kevin Colbert's last first-round pick as the Steelers GM, trying to be his defining legacy moment because he drafted Big Ben for the Steelers.
Wow.
But it just didn't turn out well, and his attitude at the end reflected poorly. It left everyone with a bad taste in their mouth, I think.
100%. 100%. We'll tell you what, let's look at maybe one more game before we go to break and check our scoreboard after that. So far we have the three of you guys with a win, then me and Connor with a win. That will take us to Bears-Texans, in which we all chose the Texans successfully.
Mm-hmm.
Well done, guys. And I'll go ahead and knock out our other non-interesting sweep, which was Bengals-Chiefs. Everyone picked the Chiefs. And I think I want to save our sweeps that did not go our way for the next section. But stay tuned in, and we'll talk about games that every single one of us got wrong. And until then, see you guys in a few minutes.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to 90.7 The Capstone and the student section NFL. We're going to continue our talk on our review of our picks from last week. Obviously, we had some ones that we disagreed on, and we had some others that we also agreed on 100% that did go our way. We did have two games, though, that we were all in agreement on that every single one of us was incorrect about. Those two games being Eagles-Falcons. We all picked the Eagles, and mm-hmm. the Atlanta Falcons won just last night. And the Bengals-Chiefs game, which I believe was a 3 p.m. game on Sunday. Everybody picked – or excuse me, not Bengals-Chiefs.
Cardinals-Rams.
Cardinals-Rams. We all picked the Rams, and pretty clearly the Rams did not win that game. What went wrong? Fellas,
Cooper Kupp being out.
Right.
I mean, he got hurt early on in that game, I'm pretty sure. And then Puka Nacua was already out of that game. So
yep.
A lot of injuries within the Rams organization. So I don't want to like chop it up as like the Rams did really poorly. They didn't have any offensive weapons
right
to throw to. I mean, Kyren Williams was still there, and he didn't even have really that good of a game. He rushed 12 rushes for 25 yards. So it wasn't the greatest day from the offense, that's for sure. But I mean, Marvin Harrison Jr., what a game.
Yeah.
I He had, what, 3 total touchdowns, I'm pretty sure?
Yes. Oh, 2.
2?
2, yeah.
2 total touchdowns. I mean, 4 catches for 130 yards.
I mean,
after not having one target the last game.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy that you go from that and then he's open like every play. 32.5 yards per catch. That's like the average per catch, which is insane.
Seeing him work well with Kyler is huge. I think it is very exciting for the sake of all Cardinals fans. Seeing Kyler, you know, break 2 tackles and get outside and seeing Marvin Harrison recognize that and, you know, drop back 10 yards, give him space to throw him over the top. Seeing stuff like that for the combination of what those two players can do, that will be huge for the Cardinals. I'm sure that Jonathan Gooden is who's the head coach there now?
Gannon.
Gannon was off there.
Which I know y'all miss him.
Do what?
Oh, the Eagles miss him. Yeah. Vic Fangio letting that come back.
Dude.
Honestly, I'm not even really upset with Vic Fangio. I mean, yeah, he could have called a better play. Like, hey, let's blitz a hobbled Kirk Cousins because our defensive line is disgusting. Jalen Carter's, you know what? We'll save it for the Eagles. Let's keep talking about.
Yeah, we'll finish this game out real quick and then we'll talk about Eagles Falcons. Anything you guys want to add for Rams Cardinals?
I'm really worried about the Rams. The Rams find themselves down 0-2 in a tough division.
Yep.
Already you lose to a divisional opponent, get blown out by the Cardinals. Especially with the injuries to Cooper Kupp and to Puka Nacua, they're in a tough spot moving forward over the next couple weeks. So they need to salvage a couple wins. Maybe Matthew Stafford and Kyron Williams can do something over the next couple weeks without Kupp and Nacua, but it's going to be really difficult. And they're, I would press the panic button if I was a Rams fan because you cannot get stuck in the sand this quickly in the season, bogged down by injuries. It's not their fault. It's not that they're playing bad. It's just that they are playing bad with what they have. So hopefully they can get healthy and maybe get back to some competitive football here soon.
Hopefully.
The thing that worries me about the Rams is, you know, you said Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp, they're both on IR, so that's at least 4 weeks. I think the expected time for both of them is 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Their next games include the 49ers, who are also very hobbled without Debo and Christian McCaffrey, against the Bears, against the Packers, Raiders, Vikings, Seahawks, Dolphins. It's a tough schedule coming up, so they could really find themselves being last in that division and fighting to get back once they Cooper Kupp and Nacua come back.
Yeah, 100%. And again, like you guys said, that's they're gonna have to get going quick if they want to hang in those divisions. But with that being said, I'm sure it's a game we've all been looking forward to talking about, some more than others. But last night's game, the Monday night game, Falcons Eagles. Every single one of us picked the Eagles, and since Connor, you are a well-known defender of the Eagles here, I want to pass it on to you to maybe start us off, at least.
So, to start things off, I think Jalen Hurts played a phenomenal game. Besides that one interception, but I don't really think it's his fault when he got hit as he threw it. Still, I think the offense looked a lot better than it did last year, 1,000%. And you can tell Kellen Moore is doing wonders with just how the play calling was last year and how it is this year. But I still think Nick Sirianni is a huge problem.
Yeah.
I think the way he handles the quote-unquote analytical side of the game is beyond me because he's not consistent with it. You look at him going for it in the first quarter. It's like 4th and 2 on the opening drive. Mm-hmm. You go for it. You don't get it. And I would have rather him take the field goal right there, get the points. But then, you know, you go through on the game. It's a tough battle. Both teams are running the ball really well. It's the last drive of the game. They're out of timeouts, 1:40 left. You run a play call that, which is great. Saquon Barkley got open. It happened the way you wanted it, but he just couldn't hold onto the ball.
Right.
I'm sure he'll make that catch 99 times out of 10, but...
99 times out of 10.
9 times out of 10. But I would still either go for it at that point. I mean, they couldn't stop really the run all night. They had maybe had a good couple plays, but Saquon Barkley was able to get through. I mean, he was having 4 yards a carry, which you could have easily gotten 4th and 2 with 1:40 left when they're out of timeouts.
Yeah.
Get the first down, that's game. But the one thing I do, that D-line and the pass rush and just stopping the run in general is hard to watch. One, because Jalen Carter gets doubled every play. And, I mean, he can only do so much. Jordan Davis, he had a terrible game. He couldn't, I mean, he looked, he didn't even look, I didn't even know he was out there. Couldn't tell. That Nolan Smith, I mean, did you see that block by Bijan?
I did.
He got destroyed. Bryce Huff, we're paying him $34 million to escort the quarterback to an easy first down.
Yeah.
So it's week two. I'm not going to overreact, but I mean, that D-line is something that we need to take care of.
Yeah, that front seven, man. I wonder who would criticize
that. I think the linebackers played decent. I think it's all.
Really?
I think it's more on the D-line than linebackers, in my opinion.
Interesting. That's, I guess that's why we're here. But I don't know. I think overall, the obvious, I think you need the, especially in Philly, just with the roster choices and what you've allocated towards it being defensive line and linebacking room. I think you, because you've put so much into that defensive line room, like physically on the ball, you need them to be successful at that next level. Mm-hmm. So I think if the defensive line's looking bad, obviously it's just going to be so much harder for the linebacking room to cover at the second level. But that being said, I mean, how did you think the D-line played against Green Bay?
I don't think they were very good either. I think, I mean, one, it was a slippery field, so nobody really was able to get off the ball.
Yeah.
But still, I don't think they played that great.
Yeah.
I think Jalen Carter had a few really good plays. Other than that, I mean, Jordan Love had most of the time. I mean, Zach Bond was the one that got our sacks.
Yeah.
He was the one that was able to rush the passer and get home. But other than that, D-line wasn't really there either.
So if you had to, would you, hypothetically, if you had to put one issue?
D-line,
D-line,
for sure.
You would say, after this game? How do y'all think?
I should have known better than to pick the Eagles. Because I brought up points last week. I said that the Falcons secondary is pretty strong. They got great options there. You saw Jesse Bates just punch the ball out of the hands of Devontae Smith. That was amazing
at
that point in the game.
Heck of a play.
And their running game is excellent with Bijan Robinson. He is a force to be reckoned with. And he had another great game, 14 carries, 97 yards. But that last drive by Kirk Cousins, it was surgical. He picked them apart going down the field, and then he gets London at the end, but he's throwing to Darnell Mooney. Ray McLeod is going through what is supposed to be a pretty formidable secondary with the Eagles. And they, Quinion, you have
according
names.
To you.
Come on. You have some names back there.
Don't tell me. Don't take it back now.
Quinion Mitchell looked great, I will say.
Yeah.
Other than that, I mean, Avante
Slay
Maddox,
was bad.
Slay was.
Slay looks
cooked.
You do not have to be a football fan to see this happen. Drake London just absolutely manhandled Slay.
It was bad.
On that last play for the touchdown. You do not have to be a football fan to see that Drake London just cooked him.
It was bad.
Yeah.
And on a game where the Falcons were 2 for 9 on third downs, they still find a way to win that game. And it's not because that they were the better team. It's because the Eagles cracked that door, and Kirk Cousins, we've all given him guff in the past for not being great in the prime time. When it mattered the most, he went down the field and delivered an incredible drive. And I think that is really going to propel their season, especially going into Sunday Night Football next week against the Chiefs, which is a huge matchup. And I think the Falcons, if I had to pick right now, I think the Falcons win that game because they have that confidence riding into this Chiefs game at home for them. And also Pacheco out for at least six to 8 weeks with a fractured fibula.
Yeah.
And I think it's looking good for the Falcons just because of that opportunity that they seized upon that the Eagles gave to them.
Yeah. It'll be a real test for those Chiefs. It'll be a real test. But yeah, Evan, do you have anything you wanted to talk about from Eagles Falcons, or is it all covered pretty well?
I think you guys got it all.
Yeah. Fair enough. I guess we could start to talk about next week a little bit. The first primetime game being Thursday is Jets-Pats. I think that's actually a lot more interesting of a game than I would have thought of going into
it. Patriots looked good so far this season.
They really have. They really have. And somehow the Jets have slowed down as a team on offense. And I think they marginally improved. Or excuse me, on defense. That's what I meant to say. Somehow they slowed down on defense, which, again, we've talked about this a little bit already, but they last season, you were just like, oh my gosh, that offense is so close and the defense is one of the best in the league. You're thinking, wow, as soon as they get a quarterback, they're fine. They finally get one, and now the defense doesn't look that great.
Yeah,
it's just a conundrum, I guess.
The Jets kind of they're having a hard time containing the run right now.
Yeah.
And it's something that we didn't really see it last year. I thought they did a really good job with that.
Yeah.
With their linebacking core. I know CJ Mosley got hurt this past weekend, but I honestly, I guess you got to pick and choose as a Jets fan.
Yeah.
I mean, you can have Zach Wilson as your quarterback and be terrible on offense, but one of the best defenses in the league, or
yeah.
have Aaron Rodgers and you can actually move the ball downfield, but your defense won't give you what you need. So
yeah,
it's going to be interesting. I honestly still think the Patriots are going to win.
Yeah.
But not Patriots. I meant Jets. But I think Patriots will give them a real shot at a competitive game like they have for these past 2 weeks.
Right. That makes sense. In a AFC matchup, Evan?
I said coming into the season that the Patriots are going to be better or on par with the Jets just because it's a Jets organizational problem. They've had the pieces. They've been a great defense. They just can't ever seem to actually put it all together.
Yeah.
And Patriots, I think they're one of those organizations that elevate the talent. And even though it's not all the way there, you know, you got Hunter Henry, Ramondre Stevenson, Jacoby Brissett as your starting quarterback. That's not an impressive roster, but
yeah,
they work really well together. And I think they're going to be a very grimy team this season, but mm-hmm. I see this game coming out to them winning by 3 to 7 points.
100%. And it's probably just a pretty well-coached team too, man. I really like what Gerard Mayo's been doing.
He's been excellent. I think that was a great point made by Evan that the Patriots elevate the talent of their players. No matter what, no matter how good they are that we would say on paper, they really do rise to the occasion under that coaching staff. I think the Jets win this game. I find it difficult for me to believe that in Aaron Rodgers' first full home game as a member of the Jets that he will lose that game. I think he'll win that game, especially in prime time. I don't like the spread in that game. It's 6.5 points that the Jets are favored by. I think that's way too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Way too much. Because especially, it's not respectful at all to what the Patriots have done
100%.
Through the first 2 weeks. And Gerard Mayo, 2 years younger than Aaron Rodgers.
Wow.
And it gets that matchup in week 3 against the Jets.
That's why I did not know that Gerard Mayo was 2 years younger than Aaron Rodgers. That is something.
One matchup I will say I'm going to look forward to watching is Christian Gonzalez on Garrett Wilson.
Oh, 100%.
I think that's going to be an amazing
matchup.
They
came out of the same draft too, right? I want to say they did.
I'm pretty sure they – no.
Christian Gonzalez was a rookie last year.
Yeah, no. Christian Gonzalez was a rookie last year. He was the same draft as like Emmanuel Forbes. So
okay. So you submit a year after Garrett Wilson then?
I think so. So yeah. But I mean, he's done great against the top wide receiver and talent he's faced so far. So
yeah.
I'm excited for that matchup. Yeah. That's one I'm going to look out for.
100%. We'll tell you what with that. Let's go to break for a few minutes and then we'll talk about the rest of our picks for next week.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back once again to the student section. We have finished up our review of all our games from last week. And, of course, in order to keep up with our little score system we've got going, we got to pick again. So we'll do that, and then we'll talk about some teams that we think should either panic or should pause on situations, whether it's just full team situations, quarterback situations, whatever it may be. But first, let's do our picks. Let's start out with Jets, Pats, and I'll just go around the room. Connor?
I'm going to go Jets in a close one.
Jets in it. Should I write down in a close one for your...
No, you can just say Jets, but yeah,
okay.
Just Jets.
Evan?
I'll take the Patriots spread. I'll pick Patriots.
Okay.
I agree with that. I would take the Jets, but I would take the spread.
Okay.
For the Patriots to cover 6.5 is too many points.
So you are taking the Jets.
I am taking the Jets. I actually think Aaron Rodgers has a huge game.
Yeah.
Huge game.
Alrighty. I am also taking the Jets, which leaves Evan on an island, supporting the Patriots in this matchup.
We gonna see.
But what are you gonna do? Let's see. Texans Vikings. How are we feeling about that?
I think this is gonna be a great game. I am leaning towards the Texans.
The Texans.
I think that offense is it's too much to handle. I think the Vikings defense has looked good these past few weeks, but give me the Texans.
Texans for Connor.
Texans defense looked great last week too against the Bears. I know the Bears already weren't looking too good against the Titans, allowing all that pressure, but I mean, I think Vikings are coming out hot, have a lot of air to them, but I'm still taking the Texans this one.
Okay. Evan with the Texans. Oh, I almost dropped a Sharpie.
I think this is a tough game to pick because the Vikings have really been a little bit surprising in their first 2 weeks. They took care of the Giants pretty easily in week one, but then they came and they beat the 49ers at home, where the 49ers do have a tough time playing at US Bank Stadium. But I think in this game, I'm going to go with Houston. Now, I said at the beginning of the year, Houston would not make the playoffs. I stand by that up to this point. But
we're starting to run out of time here.
But I think they're going to go 3-0, and then we'll see some drawbacks from there. Okay. As we could see over the weekend that their defense is not great. That it was just a weak Bears offensive attack.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a part of their team that you can poke a lot of holes in. I just don't think that the Vikings will be able to do so this week.
Fair enough. I'm also going to go with the Texans. I know I really do want to avoid sweeps around here, especially with our track record already. But I just think you got to go Texans here. As much as I'm a fan of Sam Darnold balling for the Vikings right now, and they do look pretty good, I got to roll with the Texans. Next up, Ravens Cowboys. How do we feel?
I think both these teams have looked. Well, I mean, I would say the Cowboys did show a lot week one.
Yeah.
But I mean, if the Ravens run the ball, we all know the Cowboys can't really stop the run.
Yeah.
And I mean, if Derrick Henry gets going, then it's gonna be hard to really stop him without letting him get to the second level. But
right.
Cowboys, if they can, you know, the Ravens look very mortal, I would say, after that offseason and off, they're all the hype.
I think both teams are kind of in a position where they need to get going.
Honestly, give me the Cowboys.
Give the Cowboys. All righty.
I agree with Connor. I'm going to take the Cowboys as well. It's not because the Ravens are bad. I think the Ravens will turn out fine as the season goes on. But it's the Cowboys' home field advantage is pretty significant in the past. At least last year, they only trailed at home for 42 minutes. They were down for over 42 minutes in that game against the Saints. I think they were embarrassed. I think that defense will come out a lot better. Mike Zimmer's a great coach. He's a good defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. I think they'll have a much better defensive performance coming out against the Ravens. And the Ravens really are a one-trick pony in terms of so much of that offense is predicated on the performance of Lamar Jackson. That Saints offense, it was a lot of motion, a lot of different things. It's not just Derek Carr's offense. Elvin Kamara was excellent in that game against the Cowboys. I'll take the Cowboys, too.
Cowboys, too. All righty. Evan, what do you think?
Ravens.
There you go.
We made fun of him for over-explaining last week, and now he's done.
Ravens with the rushing attack. All I got to say.
All righty. You know what? I'm going to go Ravens, too. I like to make it interesting, have a little 2v2 going here. And I also, again, I view both these teams as teams that need to get going quickly, just with expectations, roster, financials. I think they both need to get going, and I just think the Ravens are set up a little bit better to do that. Let's get one more pick in before we go to panic or pause, and that will be Steelers-Chargers. I think we should let Alex start out here. It being his team.
Well, I'm going to go with the Steelers.
Oh, who would have thought?
The Steelers' defense through the first 2 weeks has been exemplary. It really has been exemplary. We've shut down the run. Bijan Robinson only ran for 67 yards, I believe, on us in week one. I feel really good about the Steelers' chances against the Chargers. The passing attack isn't great. We have a good secondary. Our secondary has really performed well in our first two games. We've had four picks through those games so far. I feel very confident about the Steelers' ability to shut down J.K. Dobbins. Even though he has had a strong start to the season for the Chargers, And offensively for the Steelers, Justin Fields will probably be the starter once again. I think once Russell Wilson gets healthy, I think he should start. Mm-hmm. But if the Steelers start 3-0, it's going to be tough to start Russell Wilson in week four, no matter how healthy he is.
Right.
Because Justin Fields getting three games under his belt and three wins, that's pretty impressive to start the year. But a Jim Harbaugh-led Chargers is going to be a tough opponent for him. But I think the Steelers in their home opener will be ready for the Chargers and will beat them.
There you go. I'm going to have to agree. I'm also going to put down Steelers for me. He explained it pretty well. I'm not going to try to...
Not a fan of the Chargers. I don't like the Chargers, but I think they've came out decently hot. I think Jim Harbaugh is a great pickup for them.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I'll still take the Steelers in this one. It's just going to happen.
It's just going to happen. Okay. Confident answer. Charger.
Well, I'm sorry to be everybody go against y'all, but I'm going Chargers.
There you go.
I think Jim Harbaugh has really set this offensive line, and especially offense, up for great success. I mean, you know how good he is with like just the running attack in general, but I think Joe Alt has shown amazing flashes already. He's held Max Crosby to zero pressures, zero sacks, zero whatever for the week one. And then week two, Joe also had a great game. They played the
Panthers.
The Panthers week two. I mean, they did really well, only holding the 3 points. But still, that offense for the Steelers doesn't really scare me, I would say. They don't really have anybody to catch the ball besides Pickens. I think the Steelers play really well when they're, I guess, in a close battle, and there's really not many weapons on the other side as well. But I think the running attack with the Chargers will probably get going, I would say, at least under Jim Harbaugh. He's not going to just let it leave it alone. I think Justin Herbert's also a great quarterback. He's going to get his guys going,
yeah.
Especially even if it's just Quentin Johnson, who had 2 touchdowns last week. But yeah. I think Joe Alt will have a huge test with TJ Watt. I think TJ will still get home, but I don't think he'll be a game wrecker.
Yeah.
If he is on him, but give me the Chargers.
All righty. Connor takes the Chargers. Everybody else takes the Steelers. I'm glad we got a good mix this time. We split on one. We swept a few, and we have a couple 3-1s. That's nice. A lot of options for us. That being said, we do want to get to our panic or pause button real quick before we get out of here. Let's start with the Rams. Who wants to have their talk about the Rams? Evan?
I think having two of your best receivers out is definitely a source of a panic.
Yeah.
And we've seen teams start out really badly. It's just hard to come back. If you don't have that offense, weapons, if you start out 0-5, you're not making the playoffs. They're panicking.
Yeah. No, that's fair. Tough situation to be in just across the board. Again, I guess I don't want to make the panic or pause section too short, but you know, we only got a few minutes before we should get out of here. How about the Colts? What do you want to hear about them?
I wouldn't panic if I was a Colts fan. I would not panic. I still think the Colts win the division, even over the Texans.
Right.
Through the first two games, Anthony Richardson's been pretty solid. He's looked really good at different times, and he's looked really bad at some different points. But through the first two games, 120 minutes of action, they've only possessed the ball for 39 minutes. So I feel really good about the ability of the offense to be a quick strike offense. We haven't seen that so far, at least against the Packers. They were pretty good against the Texans in week one.
Right.
I feel strongly that the Colts will rebound this week in a big game at home against the Bears. And from there, we'll pick it up the rest of the way.
There you go. Was that something else you wanted to get out before we get out of here, Evan?
Another team that you aren't really sure on is the Packers.
Right.
Their next 5 games, they're playing the Titans, Vikings, Rams, Cardinals, Texans, and Jaguars. Sorry, that's 6. I think they have a good chance to split those games 3-3, even with a backup quarterback, and they're going to definitely be able to come back with Jordan Love still strong and in the hunt.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good team to bring up. The Packers are in a strange spot with that roster, and that injury length, too. But yeah, we've made our picks. I'm really curious to follow the Rams and the Colts with in their next few weeks, because it will be a very defining few weeks, especially for the Colts in Alex's take about the Colts making the playoffs and the Texans missing them. But again, All that remains to be seen. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening, and we will see you next week.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.